Matthew 2, 1 through 12. It says, Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. And about that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they said. "For this is what the prophet wrote, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be a shepherd for my people, Israel.'" Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. And then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And then they opened their treasure chests and gave gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And when it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route. For God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. The ancient world, innocent of streetlights, never forgot the night sky, right? It never forgot. How could you? When it was dark, that's all you had, right? There was not much else to see. And how brilliant do you think that was? We loved the fact, when we moved to Bowen, from Syracuse, right? A population of 500,000. 500, right? The stars, I mean, the sky, just it never looked so brilliant. It's gorgeous. Now, take away all electricity, and imagine the skies then, right? Because there are some nights here in Bowen where you still see lots of things kind of get in the way a little bit, right? Brilliant. You remember August 2017? That was that long ago. My daughter got in on the act, right? Southern Illinois University, SIU, was supposed to be the absolutely best place to catch the solar eclipse. It was like, you know, a total solar eclipse. And my sister took Evelyn that weekend. Elijah was still in the hospital, but she took Evelyn and they were not SIU, but they were in Champaign. But there were still pretty awesome views of the eclipse, and so they made the glasses and they had a fun, and there was aliens, you know, there, and it was a really fun time in our nation. And everybody kind of stopped and everybody went outside, and then there were morons who were like looking straight at it, and you know, just like there was all kinds of fun stuff going on. And the whole kind of United States, kind of all around us, everything just kind of stopped that day, and they looked and they saw. And they were expecting tens of thousands of people to flood the SIU campus that day. There were watch parties everywhere. Bars were going crazy doing what bars normally do, you know, and the restaurants. And all these places, people setting up shop, trying to make money off the whole deal. But everybody stopped and just looked at the sky. And my sister and daughter, they got in on the action as well. Now imagine there is no electricity, there's no billboards, no street lights. The only source of lights are campfires and lamps. And of course, the stars. Millions and millions of stars. And then can you imagine, all of a sudden, something funky happens in the sky. People notice. You know, we don't look up that often anymore. But back then, they noticed. Scholars have labored to discover what Matthew's star might have been, right? More than likely, it is the fact that the planets, Jupiter and Saturn, were in conjunction with each other three times that year. And since Jupiter was the royal or kingly planet, and Saturn was sometimes thought to represent the Jewish people, the conclusion was obvious. A new king of the Jews was about to be born. So these stargazers, these astronomers, that's what they saw. That's what they thought. And these astrologers, they thought, there is a sign. This is a sign. This means something. And we cannot be certain if this was why the wise and learned men came from the east, but even if it wasn't, nothing is more likely than the thoughtful astronomers or astrologers, because the two kind of went hand in hand. It was kind of a dual job. If you looked at the skies, you also thought that it meant something. It was not unlikely that they would not notice these strange events happening and then would search out their earthly counterparts. If it appears that they were also wealthy, they wouldn't have any problem getting on a camel, or whatever they rode, and finding wherever this star ended, right? It's not a big leap to think that wise men would come and seek this baby. The arrival of the Magi, which is the term Magi or Magos. It's the word Matthew uses for them. It refers to magicians or astrologers or astronomers or experts in interpreting dreams and other strange things. It introduces us to something which Matthew wants us to be clear about from the start. If Jesus is in some sense the King of the Jews, that doesn't mean that his rule is limited to Jewish people. So here's what this is saying. If Jesus is who he says he is and who the Bible says he is going to be, his rule isn't just for a certain people. His rule is for everybody. And so I think it is very, very intentional for Matthew to put this story in there. Because Matthew wrote his gospel to both the Jews and the Gentiles. And he just wanted them to know, like from the very beginning, God cared about non-Jewish people. So this story is for you. And this story, then, is for us. Because last time I checked, we're not Jewish, right? This story is for us. At the heart of many prophecies about the coming king, the Messiah, there were predictions that his rule would bring God's justice and peace to the whole world. Matthew will end his gospel with Jesus commanding his followers to do what? Go and make disciples. But not just for the Jewish people. Go and make disciples for who? the whole world. The whole world is going to be changed because of the birth of this baby boy. Matthew 28:18-20. You guys probably have this memorized, right? I have been given all authority in heaven and earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. This, it seems, is the way the prophecies of the Messiah's worldwide rule are going to come true. But here, even when Jesus is apparently an unknown baby, there is a sign of what is about to happen. What is it to come? The gifts that the Magi brought were the sort of things that people in the ancient world would think of as appropriate presents to bring to kings or even to gods. What were those gifts? You guys know them, right? The first one was gold. Do we need to talk about gold? Gold is gold, right? It holds its value, right? It is, it's worth a lot all the time. And now that they use it in technology and stuff, it's worth even more. Gold is always been and always will be valuable, right? So we know about gold. And it symbolizes the gift for a king, right? You bring gold to a king because what else could they need? Frankincense. You guys know what that is? It's an incense, basically. It is used by priests and indicates the priestly nature of the Messiah. See, like all these gifts, they weren't by accident. The priestly nature of the Messiah, they're saying that this is the announcement of the frankincense, this is God. And then myrrh. You guys know myrrh? No, you don't. I don't. But upon finding, reading about it, myrrh is a perfume. And what is that perfume used for? Well, it's used for bodies. It's very, very valuable. The common people wouldn't get perfume like myrrh as they were buried. But who would? Oh, well, a king would. But what was that pointing to? Always pointing to that Jesus was coming and he had a mission. And that mission was going to end in a tomb. Right? That mission was going to end in a tomb. Thank God that he didn't stay there. Right? But he was coming to die, and from the very beginning, that is always focused on, he is coming to die for us. The inclusion of this gift can be seen as prophetic of the death of the Messiah. So quickly this morning, I just want to point out that these wise men, we don't know much about them, but we know that they had money, that they were wise, because the Bible calls them wise. They were seekers, and they wanted to find God. So three things about these guys. They were courageous. And that brings to the first point, which is they were courageous seekers. Jeremiah 29:12-13. There are other verses in Jeremiah besides, I have a plan for you. There are some other, but and this is 12 and 13 is a really good one. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. At some point in our lives, we must seek him for ourselves. We must. We have to seek God and we have to find Jesus. that has to happen for every person in this room. There comes a point where there's not enough anymore to simply come to church. There has to be a point where you stop playing around. Coming to church is not enough. Well, my parents and my grandparents, they've been faithful Christians my whole life. Sorry, but that doesn't cut it either. Notice what the prophet Jeremiah tells us that God is saying. You will call on me. You will pray to me. You will seek me, and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. How about the words of Jesus? Luke 9 and 10, right? And so I tell you, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. So I tell you, keep on asking. When you keep on asking, you will receive when? When is you? Ask, seek, find. And then what's the promise from Jesus? If you ask, seek, and find, what's the promise? Everyone that asks, seeks, and finds will find me. Everyone who knocks gets in. But it has to be you. The faith of your parents and your grandparents or your children or your spouse, it's not good enough. It has to be you. It's got to be. They were courageous seekers. Number two is they were courageous worshipers. Have you ever thought, or have you ever gone to do something even, and you thought to yourself, this really isn't what I thought it was going to be. This isn't really what I signed up for. And do you think that maybe that the wise men got there and were like, this doesn't look right. There's no temple. There's something not right. Christmas morning was like that for us. So we came and we had a really nice Christmas Eve service, and that went real well. And Heather had been had a GI bug like the 23rd, and she was puking like crazy and grossness happening, right? And then she was better on Christmas Eve, and she felt good, and everything was great. And so we all came, and we did the Christmas Eve service, and I preached, and that was good. And then about midnight, we wrapped all the presents, and you know, by midnight, we all went to bed. And then Elijah wakes up. That wasn't pretty. And then Evelyn wakes up. That wasn't pretty. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, you know, I don't feel so good. And that definitely wasn't pretty. And so Christmas morning, I sat on the couch while everybody kind of opened presents, and they were all, and I don't really remember much. I was just like, ugh, this is awful. I feel terrible. Me being a guy, I'm a big baby, of course. And so, I mean, I was kind of out of it. And luckily, it really did just last 24 hours, and we were all good the next day, but that was not what we thought Christmas morning was going to look like, right? We have all these things that we always do, and none of those things happen. I barely made it out to bed, you know, like this. This was not right. This is not what we signed up for. This is not what we thought. This is not what our perfect Christmas is what we imagined. It didn't happen, right? Point is, they still had a great time. Kids still had a great time. Jesus was still celebrated, so it was still a successful Christmas morning. But it just wasn't what we thought. And can you imagine pulling up to some little house where this baby king is, and thinking, this isn't right. You ever think the wise men got there, they start looking around and thought, this isn't right. Maybe we should just go home. I mean, most likely they were out of the manger, right? Baby Jesus was older. Probably they were staying with some nearby cousins or something like that. And so there's this little baby, and they're couch surfing, and here are these rich rulers with gifts that were worth an absolute fortune to give a king. And there is young Mary and the carpenter Joseph in a very meager surroundings. Talk about bold. That was bold. It was bold that the wise men were willing to go. It was bold that they were willing to worship. And despite whatever they were expecting, whatever they thought this king would look like, would be like, I'm sure it wasn't this setting, it wasn't this baby, not this way. But look at verses 9 through 11. It says, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house, they saw this child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And they opened their treasure chest and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You see, they were convinced that this is where God had been leading them. And they never second-guessed the way or the how. They never did. They did what you do when you were convinced that you are in the very presence of God. They worshiped. We get to be in the very presence of God every day. God lives in our hearts. He has given us the gift of His Spirit to guide us, encourage us, to help us. So I guess my question is, how is your worship today? How is your worship during the week? Is it there? Do you realize that you are in the very presence of God and therefore everything you have should worship Him? Number three. They were courageous followers. At this point, I'll tell you that after verse 12, the Magi are never mentioned again. And verse 12 says, when it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. There's some church history that says some things, but nothing is ever proven. Nobody agrees on what happened to the Magi after. We just don't know. So if you want, at this point, you can just stop listening to me right now, okay? Because I'm going to just do some conjecture here. But here it is. Can I venture to make an educated guess? Can I guess that these men were never the same? Can I guess that they remember this journey for the rest of their lives? Can I surmise that this maybe changed them? And it changed their hearts forever. They had been supernaturally led to see the face of God. Do you think that might change a person? They were allowed to see, maybe even touch, maybe even hold the Son of God. The one that was coming into the world to save it. They got to be witnesses to that. And can I tell you that there are very few accounts in here where you come face to face with God, and that encounter does not change you forever. It does. If you come face to face with God, you will be changed. You will be changed. And they were filled with joy. They worshiped the King, and I imagine from that day on, they followed God, Yahweh, the Jewish God, the Almighty God, the God above all gods, with everything they had, everything that was within them. And that, after all, is the message for us, isn't it? You guys know it well. For this is how God loved the world. He gave His one and only Son so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent His Son into the world not to judge the world but to save the world through Him. How can we be more courageous this and for all Christmases to come? Well, we can love all. We love because of how much God loved us, and that all started with a baby. It's haunting to think there are still many of us in this world that think it is okay for us to receive, to accept the love of God, but then not to extend that love and that grace and that mercy to everyone we meet, or even everyone we speak of. We are Christ's ambassadors. That's our job. What are you, to make up a word, ambassading? What are you representing? What are you representing? If I want to be more courageous this year and then years to come, how do I do that? I think it's pretty simple. Here it is. You guys ready? If you want to do that, love people. Love God, love people. And each day you love people a little bit more and you show a little bit more grace, you show a little bit more of Jesus to the world. You become more and more and more like Him because you know Him more. You love Him more. And you want to be like Him more. If you want to be more courageous, be more like Jesus. The end. Love everyone. God will sort it all out. Just love people. Show people why He loves you. And why He loves them. If you want to be more courageous with your witness this year, just love people. Just how Jesus loved you.